Good morning, everyone. This is really strange. The chairs are set up. Our splash zone row has been removed. You feel very distant. You can just, if you all want to stand up and just move into this open space. No, I do. Yeah, just follow Cheryl. She'll guide you. Let's stand up and sing, Let Everything That Has Breath, straight from the Book of Psalms.
One, two, three.
Some of us, maybe we don't like to sing. Maybe we feel nervous speaking out your praise in front of other people. Lord, empower us, inspire us to do that, Lord, because you've asked us to, because we are the light to those around us. Lord, help us to be a people who praise you with everything we have. And not only our words, Lord, but the decisions we make every day, Lord, those decisions that magnify who you are. bless this service. Bless each person who's here this morning. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Turn and greet folks around you and help them feel welcome this lovely day.
Well, good morning. I'm going to stand over here and do announcements this morning. You know, help kind of even out the weight of the announcement weight. You guys always have the announcements over there. Hi, everybody over here. My name is Pastor Jason. I am Pastor Adults here at Grace Church, and welcome. Thank you for being here this morning. If you're new, thank you for being in worshiping with us this morning. You'll find a little welcome card in the seat back in front of you. Feel free to fill that out for us and stick it in the offering plate as it goes by, as you're offering to us this morning. I've got a couple announcements for you because the life of our church does not stop thanks to summer, right? Summer, just stuff still happens here at Grace Church, and I'm here to give you a little bit of it. Check out the bulletin. Check out the website. It's a great source of information for you. If you're one of those Facebook people, check out the Facebook page. I'm going to go backwards in time, if that's okay. I'm going to start with the thing furthest out, and I'm going to work up backwards. Just FYI, for your back-to-school shopping needs, just so you are aware, we will be doing Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes this Christmas. So when you're picking up your school supplies, pick up an extra pack of pencils, socks, whatever. Just so you know. That's all I'm going to tell you about that right now. That'll be in October, okay? Other things that you need to know, men's retreat, it's coming, fellas. Be prepared. It's going to be a great time, Stan Lubeck. So you're going to want to be to that. Lake County Fair, obviously, happening. We need volunteers to help with the booth. If you were at Lake County Fair last year, you saw good old Becky Mitchell. She comes to our second service. She's in the wheelchair. She was the only person who ran our booth last year. And she would like your help. We would like your help. And she did a great job at it. If you're able to smile at people and shake their hand and kind of greet them and tell them what church is about, I don't even care if you've been here for just a couple weeks. Hey, man, if you're into that, come on. Let's do it. Okay? We need you. So you can sign up on the website or even just on that little card to say, hey, I'm willing to volunteer. Let us know. Family camp. Family camp is next week. Whew, that's fast. Fast. Family camp. Blacks still have wood if you want to bring your own wood up. Couple things. If you have a truck that Mike can borrow to help haul wood, please talk to Mike. If you're willing to help Mike haul wood prior to, talk to Mike. Like, even if you're not, I can't make family camp, but I can haul wood, talk to Mike. Okay? But we're going to have a great time. We'll probably invite some of the Hydesville folks out with us. It's going to be a great, great time. Refuge. Guess what? Notice there's kind of a lack of youth this morning. Many of them are on the last trip to Valley de Guadalupe. Right, they're the last official missions trip. There might be another trip or two here or there, but this is going to be the last official one. And they're off this morning already, bleary-eyed, trying to make their way down to Mexico and down to Mulegé. So we'll be praying for them this morning for certain. Let me pray for our time. We'll pray for them. And then we're going to watch a video of their camp. They just had youth camp a couple weeks ago. And so we'll watch a little recap video of that, and then we'll continue our worship this morning. If that's okay. Right on, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for our time together this morning, a time to worship, praise, glorify you. You've done such great things in our lives. Father, we can be a testimony to you that we get to be the light, that you live in our hearts, that we are ambassadors for you. What an awesome privilege that is. Help us to be worthy of it, Father. Help us to live righteously. Forgive us for falling short this week, for missing the mark. But we know you forgive us time and time again. Cleanse our hearts. Make us white as snow. Because you are great and greatly to be praised, Father. Lord, I lift up the youth. I pray that you'd give them traveling mercy down there. I pray that you'd give them border crossing mercy. I pray that you would give them technical wisdom as they help build things there at the orphanage this week. But more importantly, help them build into the lives of the children and the adults that are there. Help them to take this moment to water the seeds that have been planted over the past 5 years. Father, may your word be expressed to those children year after year, decade after decade from here on out. Lord, and for our time this morning, sanctify us. Help us to praise you and glorify you. Help us to be willing to open our hearts and our mouths in praise and worship to you, most high, holy God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And tell me what just happened.
Dylan chucked the dime, and I located it, and it landed in here.
No way. I cannot believe it. That is incredible.
cued this morning on what was going on. So, we ready now? All right. I have a question for you. What is the most thankless job on a Sunday morning at a church? Sound booth. Those guys, you only turn around and look at them when something goes wrong, right? So I want to publicly thank the Soames man this morning. When we came here, is he turning? No, it was a good thing, I promise. When we came here this morning, things were a mess, and they calmly put it all together, and with a smile, they've always got such a great attitude. Thank you guys, you're awesome. And with that, let's sing. 1, 2, 3. Together worthy, all together wonderful.
God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Luke writes this about Jesus in chapter 22, verse 41 and 42. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done."
In Isaiah 53:5, the prophet writes, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds, we are healed."
Oh,
Situations which are not faithful. Lord, we're surrounded by a fallible world that's ever changing and often failing. And Lord, we're a part of that. We're changing ourselves, and we fail others, and we fail you. But Lord, you fail not. Lord, help us to walk in faith. Believing that where you call, you equip, or you empower. Lord, whatever it is you lead us to do, Lord, give us the strength to take that step in the direction you guide. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you send to everyone who believes, Lord, and that Spirit guides and empowers us. Father, we thank you for your plan for our lives, and Jesus, we thank you for the salvation through your blood, Lord, that gives us a hope for eternity. Help us to walk in that hope and be a light to those around us this week. Lord, I pray a blessing on the offering that's given now. Lord, may it be multiplied and be amazingly effective as it goes to missionaries all over the world and even here in this church, Lord. May it be used wisely. Lord, we thank you that you us to overflowing so that we can bless others. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and as vile as could be. But my Savior and love gave me peace from above when He reached down His hand for me. When my Savior reached down for me, when He reached down His hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or His Son when He reached down His hand for me. How my heart does rejoice when I hear His sweet voice. In the tempest to Him I do flee, there to lean on His arm, safe, secure from all harm, when He reached down His hand for me. When my Savior.
I think it's got to be a requirement for pastors to enjoy Johnny Cash. I don't know what it is. And it's actually kind of appropriate. Today we're going to be taking a journey this morning. One of his favorite songs of his, if I was traveling down a lonely Winnemucca road, right? I'll be taking that. I'm taking a journey with my son here in a few short weeks. I know that many of you know about that, but we've just finished a sermon series about truths that transform, and it's been like a verse or two, and it's been a very rich blessing. I hope you've been inspired for to deepen your walk with the Lord. But today, I want you to open your Bibles to Ephesians, whether it's a Bible underneath the chair, or your own, or on your phone, or your iPad. Open up to Ephesians. You can go to Ephesians 1. Even though the title says Ephesians 5, don't worry, we'll get there. And then I want you to fasten your seatbelts, because we're going on a journey today through roughly the entire book of Ephesians. No, we won't read every single word for word. I'll leave that to you. It takes 15 minutes, so sometime today, spend the 15 minutes, read the whole thing, beginning to end, in one go. All right? Oh, but Jason, this one verse stood out to me. Great, make a note of it, keep reading. Okay, see how it comes in context. Journeys are great, aren't they? When was the last time, it just begs the question, when was the last time you were on a journey? When was the last time you were on a journey, right? Because like going from here to, you know, coffee cake hour underneath the tent may be a journey for some, but not really a journey, right? And journeys are great because you learn a lot about yourself, right? You learn about who you are, your failings as a human being, your strengths as a human being. And then if you're blessed enough to be traveling with someone, you are also blessed to find out their strengths, their weaknesses, their bad morning breath. You find out all about those things about them as well. And hopefully, y'all have the same destination in mind. Have you ever been on a trip with someone and you realize neither one of y'all know where you're going? Or maybe at least one of y'all knows where you're going, the other one's just along for the ride? If I asked you what your Christian walk is, if I asked that question, what is a Christian walk? I would probably get a variety of answers, wouldn't I? Because people define it differently, but there's kind of the same thread, that same thread being that you are to be interacting with a dark world that doesn't know Jesus, that needs to understand the sacrifice of him on the cross and his resurrection to change their eternity, to change their infinity. And that's going to dictate how you walk. Okay? And then if I ask you a follow-up question, I ask you, what is the will of God? I'm sorry, worship team. You guys are great. I'm just going to move this back here because I can already see the comedy that's going to ensue. If I asked you what the will of God is, I'd get a variety of answers, right? But when you talk about the will of God, it's usually kind of dictates to a few handful of things. Usually like, what college should I attend? Is she the one for me? What job should I take? What state should I live in? Maybe it's more spiritual. Maybe it's, what church should I go to? How should I serve? Lord, give me your will. Should I be working in the nursery and with the little kids? The answer is yes. I'm sure Janelle will thank me for that later. But that's kind of how people kind of relegate what is the will of God. I'm here to tell you there's two schools of thought. Let's get theology, people. I'm getting deep this morning. I told you, fasten your seatbelts. There's two things to be thinking about the will of God. There's the will of decree. That is the will of God that cannot be broken no matter what. Jesus is returning whether you believe it or not. Okay? That cannot be broken. It's the will of decree. And now you've got the will of command is the other one. That's the things that can be broken. The Lord commands you to honor your mother and father. Some of us had trouble with that as children. The will of command, don't lie. Some of us have problems with that. The will of command, obey, you know, submit to your government. Facebook users, I see you out there. Okay? But you get my point, though, right? There's the will of command can be broken by our sinful desires. And as we look in Ephesians here today, we're going to recognize that it's essentially the will of command when we're talking about understanding the will of the Lord. That's kind of where it's going to relegate for the most part. Okay? And as we read along here, we're going to notice that there are several running themes in Ephesians. Ephesians is only 6 chapters, and there's a couple of running themes. And see, what's crazy is I sat down to write the sermon 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I started in the verse that you've got in your bulletins there, Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Therefore, be wise how you walk, not as unwise. I stopped at therefore. And it sent me clear back to chapter 1. And I felt like I needed to do that this morning. I think the last time, what was like the book of Jonah maybe, that we went and we read the entire book? Was that it the last time I was up here? I want to say that's what it was. We're not going to read the entire book, but I felt like to get a clearer picture of what God is trying to get to us in Ephesians takes looking at the entire book. Because there are several running themes in Ephesians. You get the gift that you have in Christ, living in the fullness of God. Man, I can take a month on that just alone. I get a week, people. Living in the fullness of God, walking with or in the Lord, and understanding what the will of God is. You see it again and again and again and again. And as an introduction, we're going to start this concept from chapter 1 and move on. We're going to camp out in chapters 4 and 5. But before we do that, I need you to understand the will of God. I mean, ultimately speaking, ultimately, what does God care about? It's a great question to ponder. Have a burrito and talk to your friend about. What is the most ultimate thing that God cares about? Hint, it isn't us. Yes, he cares about us. He loves us. He's concerned about how our character develops in him. but it's his glorification. He cares about him being glorified. And how he works out in us and us glorifying him is what he is concerned about. And that we would be unified in that. That we would be unified in being able to say, hey man, I wasn't nothing and I was on a track to hell, but Jesus entered my life, sealed me with the Holy Spirit. Now I get to spend eternity with him. That is worth glorifying him for the rest of our days. If he does nothing else for you, if you have nothing but bitter, terrible, crummy life between now and the end of your existence, that would be enough for you to glorify him for the rest of eternity. I mean, just a moment of transparency. Like, Christian music tends to drive me a little crazy. Because they repeat the same things. Like, they'll say the same verse again and again and again and again and again and again and again. One time I was on a missions trip with some college students and I told them this and they were like, what? Pastor, how could you possibly not like contemporary Christian music? And I was like, I told them this. And we had it on the station. I was like, let's just count. Whatever song was on, I was like, let's just count. 16 times in a row the same phrase was said. Drove me insane. And yet, because Christ died for me and is already at work in my life and in the heavenly realms, he's given me every spiritual blessing, even if my entire infinity, eternal existence is saying one word to him in praise over and over and again for infinity, it's worth it. It's worth it. Praise be to God if that's my existence, because I get to spend it with him. Just incredible. Just incredible. I can't. Okay, I got to get to the sermon. Here we go. Chapter 1, verse 5. I came prepared today, y'all. I brought my own tissues. Ha! All right. Chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of our own choosing, of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace. Now, again, this is not just some cool little saying we say here in church. I mean, it is kind of a simple catchphrase, but man, how rich with meaning. To the praise of his glory and grace. The praise of the glory of his grace. Can we do that in everything? In every situation. Let's continue. Which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Now here comes one of the more complicated verses. I'll give you a different version here in just a second. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. That's a difficult one. Let me give you a different version. It makes it a whole lot easier. Verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. His purpose is for unity, to glorify him. In him we have also obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. To the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. This would be the Paul saying, hey, we were the Jews, we were the first to believe in him, to the praise of his glory. And you were included in Christ. He's talking about the Gentiles. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked with him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Folks, we have nothing but reason to glorify him this morning. Some of you might be sick. Some of you might be ill. Some of you might have children that have walked away. You might have job issues. You might have house issues. You might be destitute. And I feel your pain. Maybe you're wrestling with something emotionally and you're just struggling with it. But we have Jesus to praise and to glorify. Because he loved us. He's given us a gift worth sharing. Worthy of sharing, that we should give it away as best we can. He then goes on and talks about our hope of inheritance. We're going to, for time's sake, we're going to skip down to chapter 1, 22. And he put all things in subjection under Christ's feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Don't you want to be filled with Christ this morning? Don't you want to be full of God? Don't you want to wake up that way every morning? Let alone just, hey, I got to go to church on Sunday, get that fill up, and drive through the rest of the week. Every morning, be filled with Christ and the glory that is he loves us since before the creation of the world. Chapter 2. Verse 6, God raises us up with Christ and seats us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God. But why? Why? Verse 7, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So that your gift can be shared, and other people will glorify him, that we will be unified in this thought, that we need to glorify the Lord. You've been given a gift that is meant to be shown off and shared. Say that with me. Shown off and shared. Say it again. Shown off and shared. It depends on how we walk, and then give people the word. It's both. Chapter 2, verse 10. We are what? His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. We got some walking to do. We have a journey to happen. Man, and there are going to be ups and downs. If you've ever been on a journey with me, you know there's going to be some ups and downs. Pray for Timothy. We're going to circumnavigate the United States in 2 weeks. Him, me, crammed in a Prius. 9 and 12 hour drive days. Pray for Timothy. There's going to be highs and there's going to be lows. Who left the cheeseburger under the seat? That sort of thing. There's highs and lows. There's a cost. There's a cost to any journey. Yes, we don't get to just behave all willy-nilly. Woohoo, look at me. No. We are ambassadors of Christ. We have to sacrifice ourselves so that we may gain the fullness of Christ. He goes on to tell how the Gentiles are brought near, and then he gets to verse 2:19, where he talks about the will of God. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are God's household. So having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building is being fitted together, do you hear that unity? Is growing into the holy temple in the Lord, whom you are also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. You are part of it. Praise God, you're part. I'm excited that you're part of it. I get it. Sometimes you look at me and you're like, man, I hope he's being built on another corner of this temple. But I am excited that you get to be a part of this with me. I hope you rub off on me. I hope we can sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron. Bond of a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And then he continues to talk about the mystery of Christ to the Gentiles, and we're going to skip down to chapter 3, verse 14, to talk about some fullness. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Can you hear the passion of Paul here for the church in Ephesus? For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, catch this, you're not going to understand all of it. It's because you're already grounded in love doesn't mean you understand it all. He goes on to say, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be what? Filled up to all fullness of God. You want to be more filled with the Lord? You want to understand this concept of having the fullness of God within you? Better understand love. Better understand the love that sacrificed for you. Look at others with love. As you better understand this love, the greater capacity you will have for the fullness of God. It's one thing to comprehend something. It's another completely other thing to know something. I think in our world, we've kind of tried to like mishmash the two of them together. Ladies and gentlemen, I can understand the concept of a can of soda. You tell me, oh, there's a can of soda in the fridge, I get thirsty. I can kind of picture what kind of can is in there. Now, I understand lately there's been some funky-sized cans. I'm talking normal can of soda. But I don't know that soda until I have consumed some of it. To know, be full with that soda. Is it Orange Crush? Is it ginger ale? Is it Dr. Pepper? Right? Until I am full with it, can I really know it? Same thing. I want you to know the love of God. And what it means for your life, and your eternity, and the people around you, and their eternity. And that brings us to our main point this morning. Oh my, Jason, hurry up. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore I, prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So again, in 1:3, he says we've been given every spiritual blessing. Okay, in verses 3:20, he's told us that God is already at work in us and is able to do far more abundantly than we could ever conceive of. So yes, I get it. Sometimes it's difficult working alongside people. Some people are more difficult to love. Some situations are harder to wrap your brain, mind, heart around. But Paul is squarely telling us, you got this. You can. Because the Lord lives in you and has given you every spiritual blessing, is at work in you, is ready for you to develop that character quality of humility that maybe you're like, oh, the Lord hasn't completed that in me yet. Have you ever heard that? I've used that a time or two. The Lord hasn't worked on me on that yet. Yes, he has. He's just waiting for you to come around. Let's keep going. 4:12. Why do all this? Why? Because he has given some as gifts as apostles and prophets and teachers. Verse 12, chapter 4, verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body until we attain what? To the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Man, can you? You can be more mature in Christ. I can be, we all know I can be more mature, but we can all be more mature in Christ. We can. As a result, we're no longer children tossed here and there by waves, carried about every doctrine. I got to keep going. By the trickery of men, by the craftiness of scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted together by what every joint supplies, rubbing off on each other, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Jason, how do I do that? We'll get there. Verse 4, 17. So I say this and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. And he goes on to say, in summation, don't sin. Don't sin. 4:25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. This is a one anothering, okay? Remember, everyone is in process, including you. You aren't Jesus, but you do carry the light as an ambassador. Be careful how we interact with one another. And then he says, don't sin. He goes on, in summation, he says, don't sin. And then chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Man, be a fragrant aroma. Smell good, people. Smell good. You ever walk into someone's home and they've been baking like brownies or chocolate chip cookies and you're like, oh, praise Jesus. Thank you for your brownies and your air conditioning. Oh, man. Right? There's some people's houses that you walk into and you go, oh, what died up in here? Let's be a fragrant aroma with our lives. How we walk matters. How we walk matters. Verse 10 in chapter 5. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. We've all got stuff to learn, people. You'll never learn it all. It's okay. Learn from each other. Small groups, Bible studies. If you're not involved in one, get involved with one. Oh, but Jason, I don't know what any of the small groups are at the church. There's a nice list as you walk out the door. Please take one. There's a list on the website. Please take a look at it. It's a great way to develop. And then he says, don't sin, in summation. Don't sin. And then we get to the verse that really got me started. Therefore. Here we go. There you go. There's your therefore. Therefore. Be careful how you walk. not as unwise men, but as wise, because the days are evil. I love the verse that follows it. So then, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Hopefully this morning you've kind of gotten an understanding that His will is that we are unified in glorifying Him. Verse 19 says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and subject to one another in the fear of Christ. I've asked Eric to play a closing song because I am not Pastor Zeke, nor am I Johnny Cash. But I want us to be bold in singing this song. Be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, because the days are evil. Let's sing together.
my faith will be made strong in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. We walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, so will rest in your embrace.
I'm not on. There we go. In Ephesians, Paul closes talking about marriage. What a perfect representation of unity if we would live up to it. And then he also closes with the armor of the Lord. Because I guarantee you, if you walk out this door, you try to be unified and glorify his name in everything, and get people to have a deeper understanding of that, Satan is going to attack you. You will need the full armor of God. Take 15 minutes out today. Read it in its entirety. I implore you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time, this sweet, rich time of fellowship with believers. Dear God, I pray that you'd be with the spiritual walk of everybody in this room, that they would better understand the height and depth and length and width of your love, that they would be filled with you, the fullness of God, that their life would be rich in every spiritual blessing, and that they would desire to bring other people and share this gift that they've been given. It's in your Son's precious name. Amen. Go in peace, everyone.